voice, just imagine the rest of what I've said. It'll be all right. I've got a message for you this morning which could very well transform your life. And it's not because I'm particularly good at speaking, because I'm not. It's not because I'm particularly clever, because I'm from Ebbw Vale. It's because it's a message that can transform your life. It's wonderful. As Glyn has already alluded to, it's a message of great hope for people like us. Because it talks about Jesus Christ, who was dead, but he's not dead anymore. Incredible. A message of tremendous hope. Because we live in a really dark world. I don't know if you've noticed that. The stuff that goes on around us is dark and it's horrible. And actually, if we're honest, a lot of that darkness comes from inside us as well. I'm as much a contributor to the darkness in this world as anyone else is. And so there's darkness in this world all around me and within me that needs to be dealt with. And this is a message that can deal with that. A message of great hope. You know, in the darkness of your life, you might think you've got all sorts of ideas about what you need to help you. I want to be honest with you this morning. What you need is Jesus Christ. You need to know Jesus Christ. And if you know him, you can have hope in the middle of all the darkness in this world. It's a story of great hope. You know, in this story, in Mark's gospel that Glyn read to us, the Lord Jesus Christ once looked out on a big crowd of people. And they sat there and they just look so lost and hopeless. He says they're like sheep without a shepherd. They've got no one to guide them or protect them or care for them. They just look so lost. They're hopeless. And Jesus Christ looks at them and says, I have compassion for them. I want to help them. And so if you've come here this morning and you feel just so hopeless and lost, you're aware that there's nothing you can do to sort that out. Jesus Christ, this man we're talking about, who's alive today, cares for you. A story of great hope. Now, there's no worse feeling than when your hopes have been high and then they get dashed. No worse hopelessness than that. And there's nothing better, really, than when your hopes are a bit rocky and then they get built up out of nowhere. I don't know if any of you a couple of weeks ago saw the Scottish team embarrass the English. Sorry if you're English. There was a moment there where there was no hope for the Scottish team at half time. And then out of nowhere, if you're not a rugby fan, it was great. You've got to go back and watch it. Out of nowhere, it comes out and it just looks amazing. We love an underdog, don't we? And equally, it was a bit rubbish when it tailed off at the end. The story of Jesus Christ follows that same pattern. Hopes are so high at the start. But then those hopes get dashed. But then at the end, there's more hope than ever. Because it looks at his life. But then his death. But then his life. Incredible hope. The story starts with so much hope. It seems like this man, Jesus Christ, when he steps into the darkness of this world, he chases away the darkness wherever it goes. And so he goes to sick people and tells them not to be sick anymore, and they just stop. The people who are blind, they've never seen. He opens their eyes. They're lame, they can't walk, and they start to walk. One day, a woman came to him. She'd been bleeding internally for 12 years. She had no money because she'd spent it all on doctors, and nothing at all had worked. She comes to Jesus Christ and just touches him, and she's made well. He comes into the most hopeless situations. One day he's on a boat with his disciples, and there's a storm all around. Most of his disciples were fishermen, okay? They're used to being on boats in storms. But they are terrified. This is a big storm. Jesus Christ gets up. They say, don't you care that we're all going to drown? And he says, peace, be still. And all the waves just stop and it's calm again. Incredible. And he goes to a little girl who's dead. She's 12 years old. Her family are devastated. They've given up all hope. They just want to go home and forget about it. Jesus Christ steps in, goes to this little girl and says, little girl, I say to you, get up. And she just gets up. And he can turn to a man who's guilty. He feels the weight of his guilt. There's a stain on his life that he can't scrub away. He turns to that man and says, your sins are forgiven. And this morning, if anyone's come here and you're aware of your guilt, and it just feels so hopeless, you can't undo the things you've done. You can't stop doing the bad things you're doing. Jesus Christ can say to you this morning, your sins are forgiven. And they'll be dealt with. There's so much hope at the start of this story. And he acquires this big following. There's loads of people who go along with him because they want their lives changed as well. Huge crowd supporting him. And they're thinking, will this be the king? The one who's going to come and save us and lead us. So much hope in the middle of the darkness of this world. But at the point that Glyn read to us earlier, it seems like all hope is lost. We find that he's been abandoned. That big crowd he had following him has just shrunk and shrunk until it's just him on his own. And he's accused of crimes that he hasn't committed. Everybody turns against him. He's put forward to a dodgy trial. There's no hope that he'll see a fair trial. Accused of crimes he didn't commit. Passed around from judge to judge until they put him in front of some soldiers. Can I read to you what the soldiers do to him? The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they'd mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. They say, you think you're some sort of king? You're nothing, mate. And so they take him and make fun of him. They get a purple robe, like a king would have, and they lay it over his shoulders. And they take some thorns and twist them into the shape of a crown and press them into his scalp. And they take a stick and whack him on that head that the crown of thorns is on. And they spit on him and they mock him and they kick him around. And when they've had their fun with him, they take the purple robe back off him because he's just not worth it. And they lead him out to crucify him. You see, hopes were so high at the start of this story for this man. He was going to be the one who was going to come and transform everything. Wherever he went, he chased the darkness away. But now you look at him, and he's just a joke. All hope is lost. They take him out to crucify him, and he can't even carry his own cross. Typically what would happen now, as Romans are executing a man, is that they take the big cross beam that his hands would be pinned to, and they'd make him carry it naked through the streets to humiliate him. Jesus Christ was a carpenter by trade. It's not the first plank of wood he's carried around. But at this point, he's so badly beaten and humiliated, he can't even carry his cross. And so they take him out and they crucify him. And as he hangs on that cross, dying, they still throw their insults. They say, you think you're the savior of the world? You can't even save yourself. And they mock him. And as he hangs on that cross, during that afternoon, for 3 hours, it became unnaturally dark. It wasn't the normal time for it to get dark. But for 3 hours, unnatural darkness surrounded him. It was dark all around him. He couldn't see the people who were abusing him. He couldn't see his friends in the distance. But more than that, deep down in his soul, this darkness fell on him. It was horrific. And as that darkness falls on him, every last drop of hope that he had is drained away. Until he cries out that desperate, that hopeless cry that we heard earlier, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ, throughout this story, has walked so closely with God his Father. He's the Son of God. But at this point, it's like he can't even get the word Father across his lips. And so he just says, my God, why have you forsaken me? absolutely hopeless. What's going on with Jesus Christ on the cross at this point? Why is he going through all that? Why is he facing all that darkness there? Because on the cross, Jesus Christ faced all that for me. There's so much darkness in this world, and I've contributed a heck of a lot of it. But Jesus Christ, having done nothing wrong himself, faced all that darkness for me. And God, who should judge me for what I've done, judged Jesus Christ on the cross. God is the source of all life and light and goodness. There's nothing that isn't good about God. Everything good you have comes from God. This darkness is what it's like to be separated from a God like that. You know, when you see what that's like, you want to know what it's like to be separate from God. Look at the cross. See there the Son of God, absolutely abandoned on the cross. See the darkness and the torment that he faces. That's what you're heading for if you don't trust in Jesus Christ. Why don't you call out to him this morning? Don't go there. Don't face that. Jesus Christ has already faced it for you. Why don't you call out to him? See, Jesus on the cross, he faced all that for me. And then one man in the crowd, he has a little glimmer of hope. And so he rushes forward, puts a drink on a stick, and gives it to Jesus. And he stands back and says, right, wait now, let's see what happens. See if he's going to be rescued. See if he's going to actually pull through. But then even his hope is lost. And Jesus cries out with a loud voice. And then he breathes his last breath. And it's over. It's over. The story started so hopeful, so well, but now it's over. It's done. Some women, some of his friends, they watch from the distance. They don't want to get too close, but they stand there to see. Maybe he will pull through. But then evening comes, and it gets dark again, and it's over. It's over. One of his followers, a man called Joseph, got permission to take his body down from the tree, from the cross. And he takes his lifeless corpse down for it to be buried. So that's how hopeless it is. In the reading that Glyn brought to us, it brings it out. At this point, it doesn't say him anymore. It says it. See, this isn't a man anymore. This is just a body. I remember the first time I saw a dead body. And what struck me was this. This was a man who I loved very dearly. And it looked like him. But he wasn't there anymore. I could have sat in that room for hours. It wouldn't have brought me any closer to him. Just so hopeless. He's not there anymore. And that's what it's like with Jesus at this point. He's been brought down from the cross. He's just a corpse. He's not there anymore. Just so hopeless. So they take him and they lay him out cold in a tomb. And those same women who watched, they see as they roll a big stone in front of the tomb. And it's over. It's over. So much hope to start off with. But now, all those hopes are dashed. So a few days later, those women, they go back to the tomb. They take some spices with them to anoint his body because it's going to rot and stink. But as they walk along, they can't help but think, how are we going to move the stone out of the way? Really, what's the point? We'll get there, we won't even be able to move the stone. As they walk along, the sun is rising. And as the sun rises, they get a little glimmer of hope. Because you see, as the sun comes up, it illuminates all the dark landscape around them and shows it up. There's a little bit of hope. I've told you this before. When light shines in the darkness, light always wins. You go into a dark room and you flick on the light. It's not long before the darkness is chased away. And no matter how small and dim and flickering a light is in a dark room, you can always see it. Never gets drowned out. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. But then, how are they going to move that stone? What's the point? And so as they walk along, they look up. And they see that the stone has already been moved out of the way. So they edge forward. And they look into the tomb. And what they find is this. There's a man with a message, but there's no dead body. And so they're shocked. They're thinking, who's this man? What's going on? Where's the body? Pinching themselves. Is this all real? They've never seen anything like this before. They're alarmed. And the man says to them, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, aren't you? That man you saw crucified a few days ago, and he was laid out here in this tomb, cold, dead. You won't find him here, where we keep all the dead people. He's alive again. He's alive. Incredible hope. You see, this man, Jesus Christ, he's taken the most hopeless situation there ever could be, death. And he's turned it into something absolutely glorious. So much hope. You know, death really is the end of all hope. If you've ever watched someone die, you'll know that in those last moments, all you can think is, maybe it won't happen. And then it does happen. And all hope is gone. Death is the end of all hope. But Jesus Christ, by rising from the dead, has proved this, that he is greater than death. Death is so powerful, but Jesus is greater. The light of the world who's stepped into this world and chased away all the darkness. And there's no better hope than what you'll find in Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, what hope do you have in this life and the next? What hope do you have in the face of all the darkness of this world? What hope do you have when this world comes to an end and you face what happens next? And you stand before God and his light shines around you and shows you up as you are. And you're judged for all your sin, all the things that you've done. What hope do you have? My hope is what I shared with you earlier. That Jesus Christ really did come. And he really did die in my place. He really has faced all the darkness and pain and suffering and judgment that I deserve so that I don't have to. And that he really is alive again. And that one day I'll get to go and share in that with him. What hope do you have this morning? Why don't you come to Jesus Christ this morning and live and find real hope? Come to him. These women, having seen all this, just run away terrified. They've never seen anything like this before, so they peg it. What happens next? Do you want to know what happens next? I'm not going to tell you what happens next. But why don't you find out for yourselves what happens next? Why don't you come and commit to following Jesus Christ for yourself? Maybe you've been saying you're a Christian for years, but you're not living in the power of this resurrection. Mm-hmm. Come and follow him. Commit yourself to him. Maybe you don't know him at all. Come to him this morning and find real hope, and then see what happens next as a follower of Jesus Christ. But I will say this, after all that he's done, surely there is no end to the hope that you can find in him. We're going to stand and sing together a song that's going to come up on the screen. And after that, I'll pray, and then you're welcome to come and join us at the back. So let's stand and sing. If you'd like to talk to anyone afterwards, you're welcome to talk to me or Glyn or anyone around you. We'll stand and sing.